Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
He's going to join us, bottom of the hour. Little bit on the playoffs, just more on the Vikings because they're so in the news. They have reached out to 8 candidates. All are young. It is a diverse set of individuals. No one has run a team before. It is a different approach than the Vikings have taken before. We don't know who else is helping the Vikings, if anyone. Mark Wilf, the other day in the press conference we carried about the dismissal of Spielman and Zimmer, said they were looking just internally and relying on folks to help them out. Is that it? Are they relying on others? Be very curious, because some of these folks within the front office would like that job themselves. So it's interesting. Adam's going to rejoin the mix in about 15 minutes. We're waiting to chat with Stephen Vladeck. Do we have Steve yet? Beautiful. Stephen Vladeck has been our go-to guy in the Supreme Court for a number of years and truly across this country. He is one of the top voices on federal courts, Supreme Court in particular. He holds the Charles Allen Wright Chair in federal courts at the University of Texas Law School. Steve, always a pleasure. At about this time yesterday, we had the decisions from the Supreme Court on a vaccine mandate for businesses. It was 6-3 against for businesses on the healthcare side. The mandate was upheld 5-4. Just tell me about the split and what stood out most to you about Roberts and Kavanaugh switching positions.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's perhaps the most important point off the top, which is 7 of the 9 justices would have voted the same way in both cases. 7 of the 9 justices, 3 of the justices would have allowed both mandates. Mm-hmm. 4 of them would have struck down both mandates, and you have Roberts and Kavanaugh splitting the difference. They don't tell us why. You know, I think you can construct an argument, Chad, for why it's even less of a stretch to find authority for the healthcare vaccination mandate for, you know, healthcare providers who are receiving funds from the federal government through the Medicare or Medicaid programs to be required to be vaccinated than the OSHA case. But I got to say, I mean, these are both pretty landmark decisions, not just for vaccines, not just for COVID, but for the future of administrative law and of, you know, the power of administrative agencies to exercise authority that Congress has delegated to them.
So I want to get to that part in a little bit because you know it immensely better than me. So I'm curious to hear you saying that. On the fact that this is an unsigned majority opinion on the issue regarding businesses, and it's such a vitally important issue in our country today, is that a surprise?
Not really. I mean, you know, we've talked before about the rise of what folks call the shadow docket. You know, the idea that the Supreme Court is deciding more and more important cases through orders, and the orders are usually unsigned. You know, this was an emergency application. It was, you know, asking the court to step in a context where, you know, until these cases, the court would not have usually even held argument. So I'm not surprised that the opinions we got were unsigned. I actually, you know, for length and for detail, this is probably about what I would have expected when you have, you know, cases that came to the court in this way. I mean, we haven't had the Supreme Court hear oral argument on one of these emergency applications since 1970. So, you know, the justices, I think, were clearly trying to do more than usual with regard to one of these emergency applications, I think reflecting the gravity of the case. But we're still left to, you know, do a little bit of tea leaf reading about exactly which justices were where and about why they, you know, signed on to some parts of the opinion but not others.
Okay, and just a reminder, as Steve Vladek is with us, the outstanding professor from University of Texas, on the two different rulings, Supreme Court yesterday, on the Biden mandate for the vaccine or testing. It does not prevent businesses from doing this. So let's be clear. I've received a few emails and texts, and it ends at, no, it's up to individual businesses to do this. So let me read. Yeah, go ahead on that, Steve.
No, or even states. I mean, I think this is the key.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is yesterday's decision does not mean that you can walk into your business tomorrow and say, no, boss, I'm not complying with your rules. Right. Yesterday's decision was, from the perspective of vaccine mandates, very narrow. It was just about this OSHA rule that was going to require large employers who weren't already imposing their own vaccination mandates to do it anyway. So, you know, Chad, in Minnesota, in other states, in some cities, you know, there are going to be still vaccine mandates on the books. I think what yesterday's decision does is it takes off the table a federal requirement for those employers who don't want to and for those businesses located in jurisdictions that haven't adopted mandates of their own.
So that was right where I was leading to, because yesterday on our show, late, the mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Frey, joined us. Minneapolis and St. Paul in tandem, Steve, a couple days ago, announced starting next Wednesday in bars and restaurants and other entertainment venues where food or drinks are served, that either you have to show that you have a vaccine or show a negative test in the last 72 hours. When I asked Mayor Frey, I said, do you believe this has any effect, that this decision has any effect on what you and Melvin Carter, the mayor of St. Paul, has offered up? He said, I don't believe so, but we're still checking. From what you're saying, it sounds like this should not affect Minneapolis and St. Paul from what they are trying to implement next week.
That's right. And just to drive home why the mayor's exactly right, the actual decision the Supreme Court wrote yesterday was all about the scope of the Occupational Safety and Health Act, the 1970 statute that created OSHA and on which the OSHA rule was based. There's nothing in that opinion that says anything contrary about local vaccine requirements, about state vaccine requirements, even about private employer vaccine requirements. So, you know, if the city of Minneapolis, the city of St. Paul, Hennepin County, the state of Minnesota, if they want to have their own rules, there's nothing in yesterday's decision that says otherwise. And in fact, I mean, I actually even think there's language in both the majority opinion and Justice Neil Gorsuch's concurring opinion that open the door for local and state governments to make their own choices.
Okay. Let me read to you what you know. I'm all reading for the audience. Part of what the minority said in the dissent of the 6-3, and it picks up on what you said earlier. Underlying everything else in this dispute, what Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan wrote, is a single simple question. Who decides how much protection and what kind American workers need from COVID-19? An agency with expertise in workplace health and safety acting as Congress and the president authorized, or a court lacking any knowledge of how to safeguard workplaces and insulated from responsibility for any damage it causes. Amplify that and what this means potentially for other rulings, other every bit as important rulings along these same lines moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to what really is the fundamental question that we teach first-year law students about what is the role of the courts? You know, when should a court decide for itself the wisdom of a policy, the efficacy of a policy, and when should the court defer to, you know, the folks we've elected to make those choices? In this case, you know, President Biden, and the director of OSHA, who he appointed to make those choices. And, you know, there was a long period of time from, I don't know, the 1930s to the 1990s, where the Supreme Court took a pretty hands-off approach to these kinds of questions, where, you know, if we weren't talking about laws that discriminate on the basis of religion or race or sex, if we weren't talking about, you know, laws that ran afoul of explicit individual rights, the Supreme Court widely deferred, even when it disagreed. And I think what we're seeing in yesterday's decision, and frankly, I think in a lot more of what the Supreme Court's been doing lately, is the justices no longer willing to defer and substituting their own judgments about what is good policy and what is bad policy for those of the policymakers. And that's why I don't think it's a surprise that as the court has turned to the right, we're seeing these results. These are, you know, the folks who are using their own judgment have judgments that are shaped by their politics. But I think that's a dangerous road to go down because, you know, it's not just that courts are unaccountable, contrary to our elected officials. It's that courts aren't scientists. Courts aren't experts. You know, if you gave me a choice between epidemiologists and Neil Gorsuch 100%. And Sonia Sotomayor about who I'm going to trust to make public health decisions, it's not a close one for me.
No, no matter where you stand politically or who you're more aligned with judiciously, I want to trust the experts. You're great as always, Steve. Thank you so much. I appreciate the time. Have a good weekend. We'll reach out soon.
Thanks for having me.
Steve Vladek from Texas Law School. Adam pointing out, sending me a text, Theo Keith with this, who does a great job covering local politics. Mayor Fry backing up what he said on our show yesterday, that they have officially eliminated the requirement for 2 to 4 year olds be tested. I pushed him on that, and you can go back and listen to that interview. He confirmed it yesterday, now has made it official. And also, Theo, from what Mayor Fry has offered up in Minneapolis, eliminates the requirement that hospitality workers be vaxxed or tested after the Supreme Court ruling. Now, again, you just heard Steve Vladek say this is separate. So it is kind of interesting. I want to get Adam and Dan to chime in on it. So if you go next week to Minneapolis or St. Paul, maybe go to what I still think is the best. If I had to pick one restaurant to go to today in this state, it's in St. Paul. It's Meritage. I go to Meritage. The workers don't have to be vaxxed or tested. I do. Because that's what it says.
Yes.
Eliminates the requirement that hospitality workers be vaxxed or tested.
And as I was sending you that tweet,
yep.
Your guest was saying that he thought that these held up, though, right?
He said it's very clear in there that this enforces what cities, states and businesses can do on their own.
Yeah.
This is just specifically for OSHA.
Okay.
So I got to be honest, I'm going with Steve Vladek more than I'm going with the cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, because Melvin Carter announced a similar change about an hour ago, right? So
yesterday, I thought that happened yesterday, but I could be wrong.
Did it on the work? No. They never had the kids testing.
Right.
But I thought it was today, maybe it was yesterday, where they eliminated the testing and vaccine for workers. Isn't that pretty odd that the two of us can go to Meritage? We got to be vaxxed or show a test. But if you work there, you don't.
That does seem a little inconsistent.
Kind of like this whole COVID episode, right? It just adds to how bizarre this whole experience has been. More Adam and Dan when we come back. It's typical of where we stand in this country, too, when one of the points regarding COVID and four or more comorbidities, which has been proven to be taken completely out of context, and it's been proven over and over again, even though the CDC have been highly critical of their communication skills. But it doesn't even matter anymore, Adam, when something is said and you think, whoa, wait a second. And then there's some actual journalism on it and it's proven incorrect. That folks who just want to see it the one way, they don't change because they just want to stick with it.
Yeah.
If it if it suits them politically.
Perfect example, Joe Rogan. Did you see the video clip? He's got
that guest who
proved him wrong. And Joe Rogan was looking it up online. He's like, whoa, yeah, you're right. I guess you're right.
I give Rogan credit, though.
Sure.
For playing it out.
Yep.
Saying, hey, I thought it was different. But having his show bring it up so everybody could see it. And for the other individual to show that Rogan was wrong.
Yep.
What happens more often with the Tucker Carlson's of the world, if somebody does that, I just scream him.
Yep.
Scream at him. Shut him down. Never have money. The same thing with the Walensky quote, which was taken out of context. Day after day after day, Carlson kept using it, even though it was clearly proven that it was distorted. And that, by the way, that doesn't change how behind the CDC has been of late and justifiable and factual criticism that's offered up. Okay, let's talk South St. Paul.
Yeah.
And what's going on with the basketball program? Because I meant to get to this yesterday. We had so much going on. It's a pretty significant story. Tell people.
It is. I mean, you know, South St. Paul historically has been a hockey town when it comes to winter sport. They had success, you know, in the 60s and early 70s, but obviously it was a hockey town in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. That's changed over the last couple of years because there's the young men who now play for basketball in South St. Paul. They've turned that program around, and they were undefeated last year until they lost in the, I think, section finals. They're undefeated again this year. And it's the big reason is because of the coach, Matt McAllister. And McAllister, who's an attorney, just over the last few days was charged in a federal court to conspiracy to commit health care fraud. And, in fact, he is pleading guilty to that, and he's resigned his position as head basketball coach of South St. Paul. They're in the midst of a season. They're undefeated right now, 11-0. And I just – seeing that story and seeing the success that that team has had, I just feel bad for those kids who play on that team who've obviously have something special going on and I'm sure are believing in their coach separate from whatever he's got going on in his professional life. And, you know, Jimmy Francis, who obviously is the mayor, everybody knows Jimmy who comes on the show. He had a great idea. Yep. He pointed out to me, he had the same thought, you know, these kids – I think they play home on Tuesday night against Tartan, and he was saying, you know, try to find as many people as we can to show up at the gym. It's probably they get a lot of fans anyway, but just to make sure those kids know that they're supported, you know, with the just dealing with this adversity through no fault of their own and just trying to support them. But it's a really special story. Alonzo Dodd is a hell of a basketball player. He's one of the great players on that team. And just, it's unfortunate that they're going through this, but just hopefully, you know, they can get through this and with their assistant coach who's taken over now and have success this season.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up. And I watched the end of the Gopher basketball game the other night against Michigan State. And my point was, yes, they didn't win the game. Anybody's listened to me for 5 minutes over the last 31 years in this town knows I'm not a moral victory guy. I'm not like this station has been throughout its history. Almost everybody just carries the water for the U of M. I'm not that at all. It's win games, but also being realistic. Ben Johnson had nobody back, literally nobody back, and convinced Eric Curry to come back. And then they are signing guys who have showed they can play Big Ten basketball, but they weren't playing anywhere near it. And there was a bad defense play made by Willis, backdoor cut. He was staring at another Michigan State player. And I made the point, hey, they still have exceeded expectations. It's a loss. I don't want to hear any referee complaining. And let's see where it goes. And again, I got 5 tweets. Oh, Izzo gets every call. And then I got a bunch of others. Well, it's all about players. To act like coaching doesn't matter is utterly ridiculous. Because it does. It can revitalize it. But you could put John Wooden in his prime out there And if you don't have the players, mm-hmm. you have no chance. You'd be better. You could say the right things. So I think that's a fabulous idea on Tuesday. You said against Tartan?
They're home against Tartan. I'm not sure the game time, but, pack the gym, show those kids that, they got their back. So I think it was a great idea by the mayor.
Well, I have one other suggestion because I've been lucky enough to be around Smart Basketball Minds my entire life and feel fortunate. The smartest basketball mind I've ever met is Adam Carter.
Yeah. Yes.
And I think it's time for you to step forward, to step in the breach and say, like Alexander Haig,
I'm in charge.
I'm now in charge.
I'm in charge.
I am now in charge. Are you willing to do
that?
Put
the ball in the basket as many times as you can. Let's try that strategy.
This goes back to the – I don't know if you know this. I was a part of the Chad and Barrero show.
Yes.
And we had this sidekick named Dan Cole. And this guy would say, defense isn't that hard. You just have to prevent a guy from getting the ball.
Yeah.
If Michael Jordan doesn't get the ball, he can't score.
Can't score.
And we ridiculed him, and then Sam Mitchell came on and pretty much agreed with Common. That's all you have to say. You score, and don't let their best player get the ball.
Stop them from scoring.
Yeah. It's easy. Pretty simple.
Yep.
All right, I'm going out in the snow to help Q off the bus. Do you wish me luck?
Good luck to you.
Or I fall, land concussed, never the same, and it's your show moving forward. Which do you want to happen?
Give me a week. So, I'd love, if you're injured, we'll see how well you respond to treatment and how you are on the air.
Yeah.
But if I can pull an Alexander Haig there, too. I'm in control.
Yeah. Is there a galoolie outside the driveway, are you suggesting?
Yes.
Adam with the weather, then our guy, Mr. Diet Dr. Pepper, Matthew Caller, Purple Insider next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.